All right, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to look at church history part two. Who wasn't here at part one? Never mind. Okay, never mind, the lot of you, never mind. I was told by my wife and good sources that I waffled a bit last week. Thank you, Emma. Appreciate the feedback. So, always like a word of encouragement. And Ross has given me a fantastic cartoon. So we'll hit the lights and we're going to play. This is church history in 10 minutes, but I'm not going to give you 10 minutes of it. I'm going to give you a bit of it. Just to help you understand what has happened since AD 90 in very fast form. So switch on your brains, guys, okay? This is not going to be emotional and one Bible verse. Kind of remember it in 500-year segments, 500 AD, 1000 AD, 1500 AD, and now let's call it 2000 AD. So you've got it in quarters, and that's an easier way for your brain to remember the history. The purpose of today's session is, number one, to show you the way of Jesus is non-violence. That's my goal, is to show you that there is no violence in the Trinity, and violence of speech, violence of action, is inappropriate for the followers of Jesus. That's my goal. Point number two is to help you not be intimidated by bad church history. Good people do bad stuff. If you don't know that, go home, look in the mirror, brush your teeth, and smile at yourself and say, good people do bad stuff. Good people do bad stuff. Bad people do good stuff too as well. It works both ways. But good, Jesus-loving people do bad stuff too. And that's our history. Like it or lump it. Can't brush it over. So hopefully this will not intimidate you when somebody comes to you and says, what about the Crusades? You call yourself a Christian? You'll have some knowledge now about the Crusades. And you can connect back with them. Another point, I just added this because we're going to be looking at poets and prophets. Poets, prophets, mystics and reformers have always been there underneath the surface. But you saw from that first quote on history, history is often written by who? The winners or the losers? The winners. The hunters write history. The hunted don't tend to, because the hunted in church history are usually being burnt at the stake along with their books. So we don't get to hear from them very much because they're becoming next week's casserole. If you feel it's a bit jumbled up, like last week I said, church history is a bit like a jigsaw. Hopefully that 7 minutes that we just showed you helps just put framework in place. Okay, so instead of it just being, oh my goodness, all these names and dates and people and popes and crusades and killing, why can't we just come to church and love Jesus? It's so complicated. It's okay. We're going to get there and ask what actually happened since AD 90 to today. And we're going to talk about three things: violence, ego, and empire. I'll explain all of them. Violence, ego, and empire. And as you read through this particular strain, as you read with a certain lens, put a certain pair of glasses on, you can see man's ego rising up over and over again. The egoic system, who we think we are, the construct that we make, instead of living as who we really are in reflection of God's glory, there's this kind of man-made push to have our own empire. So ego leads to empire. And in order for that empire, that building, that structure, remember the words of Jesus. Jesus said, I will build my church. We took that on board and said, oh no, Jesus, we'll do a far better job. We will build your church and build an empire. And empires, as you know from history, require violence to forward them and heavy taxation. Okay, so There you go. That's what a jumbled up box of jigsaw pieces looks like, thanks to Pastor Joseph Macaulay. We looked at that last week. There's your first 1500 years. And that there is called the Protestant Reformation. Can you see? In year 1054, there was the East-West split. But remember, we come from a Protestant tradition here. We're sitting up here somewhere. We only reformed half the church. Don't think that 1517 with the Protestant Reformation, it all got better and a magic wand came out of heaven and ta-da, we got rid of those stupid Catholics that pray to Mary. No, that's not how history has worked itself out, guys. How it's worked itself out is with furthering division, furthering violence, oy, 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 furthering empire and furthering ego inside the Protestant church, resulting in about 30,000 denominations now in our movement. Okay. We still here? Still friends? Okay. So the early part, the violence was towards the Christians. I asked you to text me last week in the message. Text me some of the things you want to hear about. You wanted to hear about the early martyrs. The violence was toward the Christians in those early days. A second century church father said this, that Christians love all people and are persecuted by all. They are reviled and they bless. They are insulted and they are respectful. And we could list martyr after martyr, unnamed martyrs, historically famous martyrs. Perpetua was one that wanted to be talked about, the first female martyr in the second century. Oh my goodness, there are waves of Christian martyrs following Jesus to the stake or crucifixion or burnings. So the violence in Christian history, church history, in the very early part was toward Christians. But the violence soon turned and the hunted becomes the hunter. Very quickly, those that were the victims now become the victimizers. The cycle of abuse, if you know anything about abuse and psychology, it kind of fits in here. That the ones that were becoming the victim, they were the ones being persecuted, at the announcement of Constantine in AD 300s, this dude steps up, a Roman Empire steps up in the empire, and Constantine declares, I'm a Christian, and a lot of yours is going to be Christian too. And Emperor Constantine steps up, and all of a sudden, there's a power shift. Christians are no longer the martyrs. Christians are no longer those being hunted. They are, not initially, it starts off okay like all things, but gradually Christians become, or Christendom, or church, or the civilization that's labeling itself with Christianity starts to become the hunter. Does that make sense? And that's what you begin to see. If you like Christmas Day on December the 25th, even though it's got nothing to do with when Jesus was actually born, who do you thank? Constantine. Because he changed the date. If you like worshipping Jesus on a Sunday, which is not the Sabbath, guess what? The Sabbath is Friday night, sundown till Saturday night, sundown. But if you think it's Sunday, you think it's Sunday because Constantine. It's that dude that did it. So blame his mother because she was kind of behind him as well. And which led to the violence of the Crusades and what was happening, the rise in Islamic Empire, as we saw in the East, the Eastern Orthodox Church was being slaughtered. The Western Orthodox or Roman Catholic Church, based in Rome, decided they wanted to help pilgrims liberate the Holy Land. And on the way to the Holy Land, they would employ mercenaries dressed up as Christians, nice big crosses to remind them who they're worshipping, and they would kill off anyone who tried to get in the way, especially Jews and Muslims and members of the Eastern Orthodox Church, and slaughter them in Jesus' name. And there were approximately, it said a seven on the video, but there were believed to be about nine major crusades coming out of Germany and Central Europe, coming out of England. Massive killing and violence to free up the Holy Land with all of that religious zeal. If you know the character Jehu in the Old Testament, it was like Jehu on steroids. If that's not a Bible funny joke for you, don't worry. So the violence came, and then, of course, everybody is somebody's heretic. Just remember that. Just remember that. Everybody is somebody's heretic. You might look at the Presbyterians and think, they just believe stupid stuff, they're heretics. Don't worry, everyone's somebody's heretic. The problem with most of the, quote, heretics during this period were their books have been burnt and they were tortured under what was known as the Inquisitions. So religious police would go through the land, go through the churches, and check out the beliefs of the leading poets, mystics, reformers, those that were writing theology, writing books, and they would question them, bring them to a religious court, and then do a slow torture on them and usually end up burning them at the stake. Praise the Lord, everybody! We're still here. Non-violence is the way, but that was one of the ways the church, and that was widespread, wide scale, awful part of our history. Now remember last week I said, what would it have been like if we'd have taken the lead from Mary Magdalene, the leading apostle? She was called the first of the apostles because she was the first to see Jesus. Or if we'd have taken the kind of more non-violent approach of Stephen as he's being stoned, he just takes it and says, forgive them, Lord, I release them. Imagine if the church had taken that model instead of following down the Petrian or Peter model. I think it would have looked different. Honestly, I think it would have looked different. And we talked about that last week. So we got the Great Schism, AD 1054, East and West. And that, historically, was definitely ego. One pope said, I don't like you. You ain't going to be in the church anymore. I was excommunicating you. And the other one went, that's all good. I'm going to excommunicate you. So papal power, with people behind it, money, wealth, became the break. It broke over a number of issues. Oh, one of the issues was really important, guys. It was whether or not you can use unleavened or leavened bread in Holy Communion. Important issue. That bleeding break and divorce is still with us today. You notice how ego gets in? We need mechanisms that bypass ego. We need a mechanism and a system that bypasses a growing empire, and we definitely need non-violence in our following of Jesus. So, back to the jigsaw puzzle. Oy, oy, oy. I just can't do anymore.
60 minutes.
Okay, so
rewind.
Let me. This is Martin Luther. Let's not do Martin Luther. Let's do Martin Luther from the Reformation. And this is a door in Wittenberg, 1517. So we got those segments again. First 500 years, let's call that the persecuted years. Second 500 years leading up to the Great Schism of 1000. Then you've got another 500 years, all the Crusades and the Inquisitions. And you've got this thing called the Reformation. I've been to that door. It does exist in Wittenberg in what was Eastern Germany. And Martin Luther, I call him a naughty Catholic. He was a monk in the church. There was only one church, the Catholic Church. It's Catholic means universal. And Martin was a part of that, and he was a reformer, a writer, and a critic from within the camp. He never wanted to make a break, but he was, to say Martin Luther was bolshy was sometimes a little bit up himself, would be an underestimate. He also had severe flatulence, so he farted a lot, but that's just all part of history. There were other people around Martin Luther at the time. And here he is knocking his 95 things the church is doing wrong. Most of these never actually got sorted out. But there were some key things in there, especially in the paying for the forgiveness of sins. You say, oh my goodness, what? That church was so corrupt. What? Paying for the forgiveness of sins. Not dissimilar from televangelism, where you make an offering and receive a 100-fold blessing, Pastor Ross. Not dissimilar. Same spirit, guys. The religious spirit just keeps coming back. Just keeps coming back, where you have to pay for the big, proper church thing to happen. And you get your money, and the church gets rich. There were other reformers that are important to mention. Martin Luther wasn't the only reformer. Martin Luther was a reformer from the church who ended up breaking away from the Catholic Church. There were reformers like Teresa, and she's a bit of a hero of mine. Her work, The Interior Castle, just the most beautiful mystical writing about internalized relationship with Jesus. Just amazing. She stayed within the church, and you can see the dates of her life. She stayed later, but she stayed and tried to reform from within. So some tried to reform and push out and said, away with you, I've had enough of you. Others said, I'm going to grin and bear it and put up with it all and hope it's going to change from within. Does that make sense? Someone mentioned Jan Hus or John Hus. He was a Czech guy who was a pre-reformer. So who called out Jan Hus last week? A good one there, Sam. There you go. That's who Jan Hus was. He was he translated the Bible into Bohemian, bit of a radical, but he had a movement of people, but it led into Martin Luther's ministry. And there's old Martin Luther farting over his Vulgate translation of the Bible. That was funny. Okay. All right. Emma, let's hear from a mystic. This is John Donne. My dad's name is John Donne, believe it or not. But John Donne was a Catholic in England just after the Reformation. And he writes this poem. And these are the things that don't get mentioned. You'll know the title. Come up, darling. We got his and her outfit on today. I don't know how this worked. But anyway,
I got dressed first.
You did. You're in charge. So John Donne is a mystic, and his work is called, this is a poetry that often doesn't get the kind of grip for history, but this is called No Man Is an Island.
No man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less. As well as if a promontory were, I don't know.
Promontory.
Yeah. As well as if a manor of thy friends or if of thine own were. Any man's death diminishes me because I am involved in mankind and therefore never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee.
Brilliant, Emma. Thank you. Poetry's just got a way sometimes of going past the words and into the heart of the issue. It's why I think, and again, history is held with the hunter. So it's often the empire that writes the history. There was if you know Irish history, I grew up in a family where Catholic, my father is Catholic, my mother is Protestant. So I grew up in the troubles of Northern Ireland, not in Northern Ireland, but the troubles might as well between Catholics and Protestants were in my kitchen every single day, talked over our black and white TV that was in the kitchen as mum argued with dad and dad argued with mum, and none of us went to church because they just couldn't sort their stuff out. And when I was about 3 years old, there was a killing of Catholics in Northern Ireland called Bloody Sunday. And you can read the history of that if you record it. They were open fired by British paratroopers, unarmed people, in a Protestant Catholic area where there was trouble mounting en masse, all based from the Reformation. Because Luther, when he broke away from the Catholic Church and started his own church, guess what? Zwingli is another dude. He started wars with Luther and other dudes, and they all just carried on fighting. Who's right? Who's wrong? Who's right? Who's wrong? I'm right. You're right. Belfast now has a wall, a very large wall running right. Who's been to Belfast here? Oh, you've been to Belfast, of course. It's got a flipping big wall in it, and on one side, On one side is one side of the Reformation, and on the other side is the other side of the Reformation. Imagine actually being a byproduct of that with mum and dad. Okay. So this is Bono, my hero. He's the patron saint of Ireland, talking about non-violence. And then we're going to listen to Sunday Bloody Sunday.
That you can put your finger on. I don't mean a platitude that says,
"Oh, there was more done by the poets of society." There's something about poets and artists and prophets and mystics and reformers. Live Aid went down as one of the largest. He used the stage not for his own ego, but used it to bring out a point. They had a choice of songs to use. They chose two songs. They overran with the song "Bad," but the song "Sunday Bloody Sunday" was chosen. It was shortly after that, 12 years after that, that the British government apologised to Irish Catholics in Northern Ireland. I think that's fascinating history. I really do. I'd never seen the connection before. And I thank God. And all, apart from Adam Clayton, who's recently converted, all of you two are practising Christians, if you didn't know that, just for your information. Awesome, eh? So let's go to the end and we'll close here. As we think about Jesus, the three points I wanted to really drive home was the death of Jesus hits on ego, empire, and violence. The death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus gives us an opportunity to bypass our egoic thinking, the construct that we make. There's a way to live as God created us, not how we who we think we are, but who we actually are, ego. We can bypass that and live from a different operating system. There is no place through the death and the resurrection of Jesus for a Christian empire. I don't personally think we need another church, cathedral, or building, or worship center built in New Zealand. I think what we could do is a bit embarrassing with the one sitting over here. It's been sitting there kind of half done for 15 years. I said for years what would be a great idea. Why not just everyone chip in their money and all the Christians use it as a 24/7 monastic movement over at the Henley Centre? Just a little idea from a silly little Irishman, but nonetheless, silly little Irishmen sometimes have good ideas. And I don't think there's a place for violence. I want you to think about that. Violent speech. If you go to the Bible, you are going to go to a book of violence. You're going to have to address the violent passages in the Bible. That's why on my bookshelf, there's a book called The Hard Sayings of the Bible, and it's about that fat. There's a lot of hard sayings in the Bible. You're going to have to find some way of interpreting the violence if we're called to non-violence. Or maybe we're called to violence. Maybe you like the idea of helping people with their conversion experience via the sword. Maybe that kind of touches something in you that would be nice if we could just vote in a Christian parliamentarian and have all the Christians running New Zealand and forcing people to obey Christian laws. Not really the Jesus model, guys. I'm sorry. You can disagree with me, but it's got violence in its edge. I believe in the death, the resurrection of Jesus is the walk to complete non-violence, non-violent resistance. Let's stand to our feet, please, as we close. I've gone over time. I'm conscious of that. Thank you for bearing with me. And